Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Jay Hood at 9 o'clock in the great city of Chicago. Carmen, you're coming up at 10. Greeny at noon.
Uh-oh.
Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Black and Abdallah at 6.
There you go. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait. Now that we've turned the page on the White Sox, not totally. I'm still bitter. And so is Meller because he's down today. But I get it, man. I cannot wait to see this Bears-Packers matchup. Mm-hmm. There is more optimism about this matchup than I can recall. And I think it's based on the last couple of games against the Lions and against the Raiders, and there's optimism that the Bears can turn this around against the Packers. I don't see that, but I can understand why people would feel good about this Bears team based on what we've seen as of late.
I feel like they can win this game this weekend. I do. I'm not telling you they are. I'm telling you they can, where there have been games that they're going to play the Packers, and I know they're going to get the ever-living you-know-what beaten out of them.
Yeah.
I feel like they can absolutely make a run at this game. They can run the football effectively against them. They can make plays with Justin's legs. And Jalen Johnson's a beast, man. Devontae Adams is one of the best receivers in the world. I get it. CB1, who, by the way, Tayshaun Gibson said again yesterday, y'all don't believe me, that kid's going to be a top five corner in the league at the end of the year.
Fair.
So if he can go out and just be really solid against Adams, you can't contain him, slow him down, and you get some pressure on Rodgers, you can win this football game.
What do you have on points bet? Because I have it here at DraftKings as the Packers a four-point favorite over under 44.
Yeah, I have and 4.5.
You have 4.5?
Yes.
I have 44.5 as far as the over-under.
Yep.
So if you're betting it today,
I would take the points with the Bears. I don't think I would touch the total. I don't think.
Okay, so we do know that Aaron Rodgers is on the other side. I do not base the Packers and their prowess based on the Bengals game that they just played. It was a close game. That told me more about the Bengals and how close they are to being a decent team than the Packers underachieving against Cincinnati. It didn't tell me anything about the Packers. It told me a lot about Cincinnati, that game, for me. So, but again, we know how this works, Cap. You and I are optimistic when it comes to the Bears. You want to see what's right for Justin Fields and his offense. However, it is, if you have a problem if you're the Packers, the Bears are usually the elixir to fix that problem.
Usually.
How's it different this year?
Because they're committing to the run and they have a healthy pass rush.
So you're just going to keep the Packers offense just nailed to the bench the entire game? I mean, because ultimately, with the Bears running the football well, it takes time off the clock, you're matriculating the ball down the field, and you score. That's just 7. You need 27 against this team. Can they do that, the Bears?
They certainly haven't shown that they can. So for me to say it, it's just me being the ultimate optimist.
Sure.
I do think you can hold Aaron down some. He's a great player.
That's the thing, man.
But if they haven't ruled Akeem Hicks out, if I got Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman and Bilal Nichols and Trevathan and Roquan and Mack and Quinn, I feel like Mario Edwards, Angelo Blankson, Kyrese Tonga, I feel like that whole group up front can put pressure on the quarterback.
I agree. We don't score enough points, the Bears. That's the whole thing. Like, do I believe that the Bears defense can get after Rodgers and get him out of the pocket and hurry him, maybe sack him a few times? Yeah, sure. Because the Bears defense has momentum right now. They do. But again, it's Aaron Rodgers. That's the whole difference maker. Like, he could score a ton of points against the Bears in that secondary.
When the Bucs came in here last year,
yeah,
I know an executive producer said, oh, the Bears are going to get destroyed.
Right.
And all I know is they walked out with a victory. They pressured Tom. They did a good job in the secondary. And what, they went 23-20?
Yeah.
Something like that.
But what else did Merkin say?
It wasn't Merkin.
Oh.
I just feel like they're a better team than we give them credit for. I'm not telling you that they're this unbelievable juggernaut that's going to the Super Bowl. They win this game, what is the narrative going to be then? Because 2 weeks ago, what was everybody going? That's a three-win team. They're horrible. They're one of the worst teams in the league. Don't let them win this game. 4-2 atop the division?
It's hard for me to paint a scenario that the Bears can beat the Packers on Sunday. And it's only because the Bears and their offense still is a work in progress.
Agreed.
That's all. Like, yes. Like, of course, we could see that the Bears can run the football. Sure, clearly they did well without Montgomery last week, which is great. I mean, running the football still matters to me as a football fan, but also establishing the tight end, more than a couple of catches for Kmet, does a nice job blocking, but I need him to be into passing game and making a difference there. And then from there, looking at Robinson and Mooney, those guys, and then establishing a third wide receiver, that has not been established yet. Who's the third receiver on this team that can really pay dividends for the team?
Very valid concern.
So that's all. Like, I'm not trying to throw the Bears in the trash. I'm just looking at it realistically and saying the Packers have always had the Bears' number in the Rodgers era. Always had their, for the most part. And I just don't know if the Bears can score enough points against them. And I know the defense will be opportunistic for the Bears going after Rodgers. But you know Rodgers, Melner, give me a good dancer. I was going to use a dated, nasty reference. Give me a good dancer.
Fred Astaire.
I was going to use that stinky reference. He's a great dancer back there. You know, he rolls out of the pocket. Like, if he's in trouble, he'll do a loop-de-loop and then, like, still throw down the field. He's good.
For a guy who's not known as a escape artist,
yes,
he's an escape artist.
All right, Melner, I'm going to need you to freshen up that reference.
He's like David Blaine.
Boy, I don't know. Who's the most accomplished dancer we have today?
I love you're turning J-Lo to Meller for that. Like,
J-Lo's the first one that pops into my head.
Like, she's J-Lo.
How is Meller the dancing expert? Like, what about him screams?
You're just offended he didn't ask you.
No, listen, I got no clue. I'm fine with that. But I just am wondering, like, of all the people in this building, how Meller becomes the de facto expert on dancers.
Well, who do you want? Merkin?
Well, Danny, you look busy.
I'm always busy.
Michael Flatley.
Again, that's at least 25 years. He came to my mind, but I feel like J-Lo gets it done still.
So he'd...
Well, I didn't give you Rudolph Nureyev. I mean, come on.
What sport did he play?
Who's the dancer from Dancing with the Stars, the famous guy? He's got blonde hair. Everody knows him.
I'm just trying to
Except everybody in this building.
I'm just trying to break through away from the dated, musty references, right?
Right.
JR, put this on the poll, at Cap J Hood. Does Aaron Rodgers step out of the pocket like Fred Astaire? Like, I didn't want to use that old musty
Shakira?
Reference.
Like Shakira? Shakira?
He said Barishnikov. That's better.
I'm ignoring what he says. Shakira? J-Lo?
Derek Ho, or how?
Is he still on the air?
Yeah, he's according to Google, the most famous dancer from Dancing with the Stars. That's how you say his name.
Usher?
Mully and Howe. I've heard that show before. Danny has packed up his bag, and he's leaving for the day. He's had enough.
That was better than hearing from Hanley today.
Wow.
You said Usher, right? Usher Raymond?
I feel like, yeah, I got to go with like R&B or some pop artist. That's where...
Okay, so let me reset this. You ready, Cap?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. The thing you got to be concerned with the Bears is that Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he is able to elude the pressure. He steps out of the pocket like he's Usher.
I like
better?
It.
Is that better?
I like it.
It's better than me saying and Fred was right on
I
the
knew exactly
like,
where
I
you were going.
I'm like, that's just a musty old reference. He steps out of the pocket like Fred Astaire. What are we doing here? Cap.
Agreed.
So we updated with Usher. How about that, Danny? We updated with Usher.
Derek Huff. His name is Huff. Derek Huff.
We have to know who they are, though, if you're going to reference them. That's the problem.
He's a good dancer. Stop talking.
Who is Derek Huff married to?
You don't know who Huff is married to? Haven't you met his wife?
His sister is Julianne Huff.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Was she also a writer?
She's a dancer.
Oh. I see.
And she was great in Bad Grandpa or Dirty Grandpa, whatever.
They are the children of Charlie Huff, right?
Oh, the knuckleball pitcher. I don't think he's married, Cap. If you were him, you wouldn't be married either.
Yeah, he has a long-term significant other, Haley Herbert.
Smart guy. Lock it in. That's how you do that.
It's the Derek Jeter plan, right?
Oh, it really is. That's the best way. What would you rather, if you were to turn the clock back, would you rather have a long-term relationship and not get married or get married? Does being married, is that significant to you?
Yeah, I never thought it was after I first one crashed and burned.
Yes.
Yes, I like being married. I like that. I like the relationship. I do.
So you could you last in a long-term relationship?
I could.
10 to 15 years?
Yes.
Wow. Without saying I do, without the ring?
I could if that was what my then-girlfriend, now-wife, wanted, but she wanted to be married as well.
That's like common law, though, right? Ultimately, when you've been with someone for 10 years, you're pretty much married.
Law.
It's pretty much married, right?
Exactly. Yeah, is it 10 years or is it 20?
I think it's
probably 10. I think you're right.
Like 10 plus, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
In some counties.
Yes.
When you know, especially when you have a long-term relationship with your cousin.
Wow.
In some states.
312-332-3776. Yes, Daniel.
Guys, we just got two calls. Bruno Mars is who we should be using.
Oh.
Bruno Mars.
All right.
You ready? 3, 2, 1. Cap, I'm going to tell you right now with this Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I know that the Bears' pass rush is pretty good, but I'll tell you, the way that Rodgers is able to elude the pressure, man, he even spins out of there like Bruno Mars.
That's a great analogy, Jonathan. I'm glad to see it pop right to the top of your head.
Or Fred Astaire.
Or Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Much better.
Or how did we miss this one?
George Gobel? What were you going to say?
Aaron moves around like Ginger Rodgers.
Oh. Jeez.
Come on, man.
This portion of Cap and J Hood brought to you by MeTV. Don't forget, The Lone Ranger, today at 9.
Also brought to you by Metamucil. For the fiber needs in your diet, use Metamucil. All right, 312-332-3776. Our guy, Keyshawn Johnson, on the Bears and his strong feelings for John Gruden. Next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bow, 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 bow. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We get to talk to one of our favorites. I watched him play in the Rose Bowl, and now here I am talking with my partner and with the great Keyshawn Johnson here on ESPN 1000 with Hoodie. I'm Cap. Key, good morning. We got a lot
what's
to get
happening?
To. How are you?
You know what's happening. You know what's happening.
Driving in this beautiful, clear skies. 60 degrees, going to warm up a little bit as time goes by, then probably 72 degrees, and that's about all.
So let's talk Bears with you first. We'll get into some other stuff with you. If the Bears go out and win this football game this weekend, and look, they beat Tampa Bay here last year. They've got a better quarterback situation. Their defense is playing better. They're getting pressure from both Mack and Quinn, who have combined for 9.5 sacks. What will the national narrative be about the Bears if all of a sudden they're atop the division at 4-2?
I would probably think that it would be a sneaky team with a young, ascending quarterback that's giving them energy to energize them to put 3.5 wins together since he took over the team. That's what I think it would be. Matt Nagy's figured it out. And I know you cringed just now when I said that, but that's the reality of it.
Key, where do you place Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay quarterback, amongst the best that you've seen at quarterback?
I mean, it's all, all the best. I mean, I played against Marino, feel like I'm 1,000 years old, but he was at the end when I was at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with John Elway, Steve Young, all those dudes are all Hall of Famers. Jim Kelly, like literally, I, Can you believe I played against those dudes?
It is actually, it's only because you don't look that old. That's the reason why that's kind of weird.
And I played with them in Pro Bowls. But, you know, you start talking about all those quarterbacks. Like, I don't get caught up in – I've never been a get caught up in he's better than his guy. It's like, wait a minute, man, they all in the damn Hall of Fame. What's the – I don't understand. They all in the Hall of Fame. They all won championships except, you know, maybe Kelly only went to four, didn't win, and Marino went to the one and didn't win. But that's not all on them. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Rodgers is one of the great quarterbacks of all time.
That's because you keep your young in. You don't look that old that you played against those guys. It must be cocoa butter, right? That just keeps it going. Is that what works for you?
No, because cocoa butter going to darken me.
Right.
I can't use cocoa butter on my face. I just soap and water, basically, and my mom and, you know, just family, man. You know, yeah. As I was on with Chris Long on his podcast yesterday, we were having some fun, and I told him, you know, we were kind of tongue-in-cheeking because that's my guy. Mm-hmm. And I told him I have full lips, and I have sexy lips, and I don't need any injections or anything, and my lips are beautiful, and a lot of people in the world want lips like these. That's why they go to doctors.
That's true. That's true.
Key, and I'm very happy, and I'm very happy and proud, and I love my full lips.
Yes.
If you know where I'm going.
I do.
Yeah, that
I do.
Leads us to, so you played, I heard you with Booger yesterday. It was some great stuff. I thought you guys were exceptionally honest. When you look back on your time with John Gruden, when you're playing with Booger, do you feel like, look, I met the man, and I did not like my interaction with him, but I didn't play for him. Do you feel like, yeah, he was a good football coach, I just didn't respect the person that he was, or was he overrated as a coach?
You know, I was this hoodie that asked me this question?
No, it's Cap.
It's Cap.
Okay, Cap. So what I wanted to do is try to get away from talking about John, but since this is the first time I've been on your show, we won't be doing this beyond today. So yep. I'm going to do that because I don't want to keep talking about something that's really at this point in my life is kind of irrelevant.
Get it.
But because we boys and I like y'all, and y'all like me, and our shows are good together and all that. You know, I thought at times he was a good play caller. I thought at times he thought he was smarter than everybody. But what he did for us is he helped us win a championship. Because he brought a little bit of a different energy at a time and we probably needed it because we kind of started to fade away from Dungy a little bit and we kind of got the message kind of got stale. And you see that when new coaches, they come in and there's a jolt of energy. You see John Fox leaves and Matt Nagy takes the team to the playoffs because there's a certain jolt that comes with that. And I think we were right there as an egg boiling, ready to crack, and somebody turned the fire off, and it got cool, and the egg never cracked. But when John came, turned the water back on, and it boiled, and the egg wind up cracking and becoming well done, we went on and won the championship. Everything aligned perfectly. But you could always tell that there was something about him that wasn't genuine, and a lot of us saw it. I was really the only person that said something about it because I was secure in my financial situation, and I wasn't worried about what could happen to me, and I was a made man in the National Football League, and I wasn't worried about whether or not I was going to get another job. And so I basically took him on for some of the stuff, you know, that I saw that I didn't like, and he had to remove me because he had now got the power and the championship. We won the Super Bowl, so he had the brain trust and the power of the ownership group. They believed in him because he basically pulled the wool over their eyes. And I saw all of that. So, you know, it was like, we got to get rid of this dude. Because if I don't get rid of him, he's going to expose me to a whole nother level. And then that's going to be not looking good for me. But as long as this dude is around, my work's going to be cut out. But you can see it. Like, Booger can see it. I can see it. There's other people on the team that can see it. Everybody's just not as comfortable in their skin to call out what they see.
So, Key, my only question about this, when I heard your original comments and saw Randy Moss and others had to say about this, my whole thought was, man, if you're a leader of men, you're supposed to be able to lead. And I'm just wondering from the player standpoint what that Raiders locker room is going through right now. You thought your coach was one way, and then this is all revealed. Like, what's going on in that locker room right now? How do they come together after this?
Rich Bisacci, who's the special teams coach, took over as the interim head coach. They're in great hands. Rich Bisacci is a beloved special teams coach throughout the National Football League. And when you deal with special teams coaches, I had him in Tampa, and he's like one of my good friends in the coaching world, is when you are a special teams coach, you don't deal with one unit. You deal with everybody because you got to take guys from the defense, the offense, the secondary, the offense. You know what I'm saying? You got the special teams. You got punt team, kick team, punt return team, kickoff team, PAT team, field goal block, field goal team. So you got all 53 men that you deal with every single day. And so it's almost like a strength coach where they're communicating with guys every single day. And so I think from a locker room standpoint, Gruden's gone. Everybody knows that he's a bad guy now. Everybody realizes that. And they're like, good, he's gone. Let's move on. And this is a perfect opportunity for Rich to rally the troops and get things done at the level that they need to get them done at.
I'm not going to bring that coach up to you after today anymore, and I appreciate you taking the time to
answer. No, you're not, because if you do, I'm going to hang up on you.
I get it.
Damn.
And absolutely not going to. I want to ask you about what you saw from Justin Fields last week. He only threw for 111 yards, but he got hit early in that game, and I'm sitting with Olin Krutz, and he said, I think he just got hit right in either the kidney or the liver. He doesn't look good. He said, we're going to find out how tough this kid is. And boom, he throws a touchdown pass. He's up there pumping the six shooters. And Olin looked at me, goes, we got a quarterback right there. That's our guy. We now have a tough guy at quarterback. What did you see?
Well, you see the same things in college. You saw the same things in college. Here's what I would tell you and caution you and your Chicago boys. Don't measure him based on statistics. Just don't do it. Measure him based on effectiveness. How effective is he is and how infectious is he to the team? Does his personality infect the team's chemistry on a positive note and on a high? See, a lot of times people get caught up in the statistics. When they get rid of a guy, oh, my God, he had 4,000 yards, blah, 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 blah. No. How about the way that they play when he's underneath the center as a team? You know, when they say, well, it's going to be hard to replace that guy. Well, yeah, but it's harder to replace the personality because the personality, you can always place the statistics. You can scheme and do, you can do all that for 3,000 yards. You can do that. But they feed off of him. They feed off because they know they got a fighting chance with him.
Yep.
They didn't feed off of Andy Dalton. I tried to tell everybody this in Chicago weeks and months ago. Oh, yeah, he's Matt Nagy. He's going to do it. I'm like, man, don't listen to Matt Nagy. He's going to send you left and he's going right. Coach speak. Oh, I don't know who the starter's going to be. No, y'all know. That's why every week he came back out, well, Justin Fields is going to be the starter. So he finally said, we're moving on with Justin as a quarterback. Because somewhere along the lines, he got tired of sending that same message. And I saw that he energizes the defense with, even though he plays offense, they feed off of it. They try to go get the football back for him because they genuinely like him.
I'm looking forward to the Chargers in Baltimore. How do you see that matchup coming up?
I think it's going to be high scoring.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a challenge for Baltimore secondary with them trees. I watched them play Cleveland this past weekend, the Chargers out in L.A. And them trees, man, with Williams and Keenan Allen and Cook coming down the middle and Austin Eckler, he's not a tree, though. He's a stump playing in the backfield and being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And then you got the ultimate tree in Justin Herbert. The offensive line is solid and sound, anchored on the left side. And so when you look at them, you know they're going to put up points. And they got a good defense in Derwin James. I like to get a little more out of Bosa. But, you know, it's whatever it is. Asante Samuel Jr. Brandon Staley's brought a winning attitude to the Chargers. They're going to have a hard time stopping what now, if the season ended today, the MVP and Lamar Jackson. Lamar, I can't believe how many people are like, I don't want that guy. You don't want that? That what we saw Monday night, you don't want that?
Yeah.
That doesn't look appealing to you as a coach or general manager? It amazes me because the same things he's doing or he did on Monday night, he did at Louisville when he came out of school. That's why I had to ask the questions. I think it was Mike Tannenbaum the other day, mm-hmm. former general manager of New York Jets, Miami Dolphins. I asked him, I said, how do y'all not like that? He goes, oh, no, tell. Not me. I said, Mike, you didn't think about that. You know, be honest. You didn't think about that dude when he came. You was probably one of the main ones talking about he should switch positions.
Of course. Of course, because when you're a unicorn, you don't recognize it. They saw him as a wide receiver. Just they saw the speed and did not see the ability.
How?
Right? Houston.
How when he got it on – if you he got it on tape in Louisville.
Right. Right.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. Old boys network.
You rather go get an old dude that can't scramble from the left tackle to the right tackle without getting hit by somebody. You rather have that than that we saw on Monday night.
Yep.
Hey, last thing, Derrick Rose got engaged the other day, and he did it where he had a really gourmet dinner set up on the court at Madison Square Garden. The arena's lit up, nobody else in there. And he gives her a beautiful ring. He had wine and champagne and this gourmet
meal.
Well,
he better not have given her a ring out the popcorn box.
Yeah, exactly. But how did you get engaged? And did you think what he did was cool?
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I just was like, come on, let's get married. Here you go.
It's like Larry Bird. It's what Larry Bird did.
Yeah, man, we're going to get married. Here you go. It wasn't no special. It was like, yeah. I think, no, you know what I actually did is I rung the doorbell and I set the ring on the front doorstep.
Oh.
And rung the doorbell and hid.
And she came out and looked and went.
Looked, opened it up. Like,
Oh.
And I'm like, damn, all that money I spent on that wedding, I sure like to have that back. all 20 seconds of that. I do, we do, we're going to be good, I love you, kissy, kissy. I'm like, man, what if we had that money back? We can go buy us a house in Hawaii.
Exactly.
That's it. Hey, Key, we appreciate you addressing what you did, and we thank you for your time. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, bud.
You're the best. See ya.
You remember, it's her wedding, not yours. You're just showing up there.
Correct. I let my wife and her late mother, I said, just tell me what time to be there. I played golf the morning of my wedding with my kids. We went out on the golf course. We were getting married at 11 a.m. We were on the golf course at 8. Played 9 holes, all of us. Came back, put my tux on, walked up. She was already ready. Let's go.
That's amazing.
That's it.
Wow.
It's perfect. Honey, you want chocolate cake? Sure. Well, what about this other cake here, this, you know, the white cake with the red frosting, with the this, with the... Hun, get whatever cake you want. Have whatever... I don't care.
There's always an argument, though, when they feel like you're not involved.
My wife knows. And so she just took... done. Just tell me what time to be there.
What kind of silverware? What kind of place settings and all this other stuff,
I don't care.
Yeah.
I will do anything to make you happy. That stuff, nah, I'm not involved.
Well, not anything.
Pretty much.
Bets. You're betting. WNBA. She's not happy with that.
The music's playing. You have to walk down there. Hang on a minute. I'm trying to live bet this game. He thinks paying for all this.
Exactly.
Is Tony La Russa the right man to lead the White Sox in 2022? We would love your thoughts. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
I'm still trying to figure out why Kopech wasn't in the game one hitter earlier. I know Rodon has owned Correa through his career. But you get Kopech up for that moment. You don't wait until you're behind in the game. If I'm Tony La Russa, I have Kopech in that game to get that guy out. Right?
To get Correa.
Bases low, to get Correa out. Now you bring him in, and now Gurriel's thinking, man, this is just gravy, right? If I get a hit here, we're up 4-1. We're thinking about Boston Red Sox possibly. I know it's early in the game, but if it's me, I have a righty ready for that moment. You got to think ahead, right? So, and they have a full bullpen. They have Kopech. They have Lynn, who's down there. They have Tapera. They have all these righties that are ready to go. you could have had, as soon as we talked about it, we saw some signs of Rodon tiring. Two really long at-bats, right? Especially against Alvarez. Boom, bases loaded. Base hit, you're trailing. Crowd's out of the game. Got to get Gurriel out here.
I like what I heard from those, that broadcast. And again, I listen to a lot of Lennon DJ. That's what I usually do. But sounds like the combination of Amin and AJ and Waino, pretty good threesome there.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding. And whenever Adam Wainwright's done pitching, I would assume he's not done competing because he pitched at a really high level this year.
Yeah.
Can't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, Wainwright's pitching today. Strikeouts are 6.5. He's going under. And boom, he'd have 9 strikes. I'm like, that guy's still bringing it, man. It's good.
So here's the fear for Sox fans. When will the Sox win, and will La Russa be the manager when that happens? Because that's the question that you asked going into the break, right?
Correct.
Okay. I know that you've been 100% behind La Russa this entire time,
yep.
Sometimes over the top with it. I understand how good La Russa was because that was the first manager I remember as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's managed my team when I was a kid in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the 83 team and all that. But the question, and I think it was a fair question to ask, Cap, is so how would he adjust? Being away from the game all those years, how would he adjust? And it was rocky the first couple of months. We documented it here.
Yep.
Some of the fundamentals of the game, some things, some calls he made.
The review.
Yeah, there's some things I did not like, but I think he straightened it out. Because when we hear players say, hey, man, you know, we like La Russa. He's like, you know, our grandpa. He gives us direction. That's fine. But it's little things like taking care of the bullpen and knowing when to pull pitchers. I'm sure Houston fans have a problem with Dusty in that regard. And same thing here. It's little things about La Russa that still need to be straightened out. It's on the team first. But don't beat yourself by making bad moves. That's my issue.
Let's go to the phones, and Ryan is in Crown Point. He'll start us. Hey, Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
Right.
I'd say Tony La Russa is the right manager for this team if he can bring their maturity level to where it needs to be. I think they have this change-the-game attitude, and that leads to them thinking that they can play with this free-swinging, free-playing attitude that leads to defensive inefficiency and just a lot of swing and misses at the plate. And if Tony La Russa can fix that, I think this team can really go pretty far. You can change the game, but you still got to play the game the right way. And I don't think this team played the game the right way. And that's on La Russa, in my opinion. But talking about this playoff series, La Russa made some moves that weren't really great. But when you only score game one and 1 run in game 4, I mean, you can't – that's not on La Russa. The players got to perform. So going into this postseason, going into spring training, I'm really hoping that – we can see a maturity level with this team that I don't really think has been there over the last 2 years.
Appreciate the call, man. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. 312-332-3776. Labrador on the south side. What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. Calling in. Mad. Yesterday's game was ridiculous, embarrassing. La Russa needs to go. He mishandled everything. Starters, bullpen. Defense.
Let me ask you, please give us documentation. They lost 10-1, and they didn't get one starter to go 5 innings. So explain what he did wrong when the players failed to perform as Hoodie and I have laid out.
My first one is game one starter. Lynn had gotten rocked by Houston, I believe, his last 5 starts, and Giolito had dominated twice. To me, an inexperienced team, you need momentum, especially against Astros, who had won already. You need momentum. You put Giolito in, it might be a whole different story. They might win game one, and that changes everything.
He got crushed in game 2, Giolito.
I know, but
Labrador, I would just say this, that like at some point, Lynn was going to face the Astros, whether it was game 1, game 3, he was going to be in there, and still, he had a really bad one-loss record and bad ERA against the Astros. So either way, you're going to face them, right?
Right. But you don't think momentum is a big deal when it comes to a young team against an experienced team? That would have given them confidence. If they win game one, what do you think would have happened to their confidence?
Well, Giolito got his ass beat, too. So who would you have started?
Right. But you know, you don't think that worked into his head? Like, man, I should have been game one starter? Like, I think it would have been a different thing. But that's besides the fact that La Russa mishandled everything. You don't pitch Kopech till the third game?
Kopech pitched poorly in the series. He wasn't good. And in game one, and thank you for your call, game one, Lance McCullers shoved. It wouldn't have mattered who was pitching.
Yeah, that's true.
You didn't score. Just a fact, man.
But listen, I understand that there's some people that looked at this whole season and say, is Tony really up for the job? And I think that now that it's done, yes, he is up for the job. Can they win with him? That's the thing. And it's more than La Russa. It's about this offseason and Rick being able to shuffle a few cards here to get some infusion of life in this team, especially with the starting pitching.
Yep.
That's what I want.
You know, I was telling you at the break, I've got a name for you that I would go out and sign.
Yeah, you never told me.
So I would not give Robbie Ray 7 years and $210 million. I wouldn't do that with Marcus Stroman.
No, that's what the Cubs will do.
They might, and if they do, they're stupid.
That's what the Cubs...
Yeah.
Well, you need your Lester, don't you?
Guy isn't out there, and they're not ready to take the next step like they were.
You got to get your Lester ready, don't you?
You know who I'd sign if I was the White Sox?
Who?
Max Scherzer.
He's not coming here.
Well, what's the price tag?
He's going to be on the West Coast. He's going to be the most sought-after starter. I love the White Sox.
Okay, what about Justin Verlander?
Verlander's interesting. He's coming off of Tommy John. He may go back to the Astros. I think isn't there an option there?
He's an unrestricted free agent, I believe.
See, the Verlander move is something that Kenny would do, not Rick.
When you're ready to win and I give you a beast I drop at the top of your rotation, okay, Max, how much?
Because that solidifies your starting rotation for sure.
If I got Max Scherzer as my one leading the way, okay, let's go. Game on.
Now, what else do you want to do if you're the Sox? Because you got to find yourself a second baseman. That matters.
Yep.
Rodon's out. Is Louis because we got to go through this, Jeff. No Laurie Garcia. He's a free agent. No Tapera. You're not signing him. We got to get.
Well, are they picking up Craig Kimbrell's option?
I would think. You gave up a lot for 3 months. You gave up a starting second baseman and a high leverage potential arm.
Okay, I'm with you. They gave up a lot. I'm not brokenhearted about losing Madrigal, but the question is, what was going on with Craig Kimbrell? Can he not pitch if he's not closing?
You know what I'm saying?
Like that's a lot of money if he's not going to be what he was for the Cubs.
That was a fail, straight out. Kimbrell was a fail,
no question. But you're just going to walk away?
I don't know. Well, it's a sunk cost. Can you get him right?
It's I'm not with a sunk
you.
Cost.
You gave
you're
up
paying,
a lot.
You no, can no, no. get out it's of that contract.
It's a sunk cost if they go ahead and pick up the option just because they traded some key pieces for him. If you can't get him right, don't pick up the option. Do you know if they can get him right?
I don't know the answer to that.
All right, we'll continue to discuss this, take more of your calls, and Captain Kirk is going to space. Seriously. Next.
Take that. Go Caps.
Listening to Cap and J Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and J Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports.
Right.
ESPN 1000.
Here we go. We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news here on Cap'n J. Hood. Dan.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. It's as if Bob Nightingale was listening to us as always. Bob Nightingale of USA Today reports the Chicago White Sox are expected to pick up reliever Craig Kimbrell's $16 million option and then trade him during the winter.
We turn now to Jeff Miller with this breaking White Sox news, Jeff.
That is an answer that many brilliant baseball minds have been asking questions about, so it is good to have some answers from Bob Nightingale there, because you know when Bob Nightingale reports it, the only time it is actually accurate is when it's about the White Sox.
Or Dusty. We turn now to David Kaplan as we bring him back in studio. So this breaking news, very interesting news regarding Craig Kimbrell, is as if he was listening to our show 3 minutes ago. We were just talking about this, and now it might be Kimbrell going somewhere else.
Yeah, people don't like to hear this because they like to take shots at Bob. He's the first guy that said the White Sox will talk to Tony La Russa, and if he wants a job, it's his. And everyone went, oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Oh, I guess he's right.
He is right.
Yes.
So Kimbrel could be dealt in the winter.
You're not going to get back the haul that you gave the Cubs.
It's okay.
But you will move money off the books, which allows you to do other things.
And the people taking shots at Bob know that he gets the White Sox stuff right.
Yes. That's exactly right.
100%.
And Dusty. All right. If you need any Dusty Baker thoughts, he has it for you. And, of course, it makes all the sense in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need a closer. That guy is a closer. He's not a setup guy. He could be on my team if you're any general manager. I want that guy. And you're hoping you're getting Chicago Cubs Kimbrel toward the end.
Correct.
That's what you want.
Where he had a .59 ERA and was amazing.
Let's talk about the team before you're going off to Arizona. Let's take a look at the books. This Kimbrel thing. That guy wasn't very good. Get rid of him. I don't like the old arm thing. He's like a vulture out there. Get him out of here.
Save some money on the books.
Just save some money. We need it for concessions later on. 2022. We got to think about the budget.
We can print things on the towels.
But you get out of there. Keep your beak out of it.
Yeah, keep your beak out of the towels, JR.
Wait just a minute.
Danny just told me something at the break that I find, like, bizarre. William Shatner's how old?
90 years old.
90.
He's in a spacesuit, and they're blasting him into space.
He's going up right now as we speak. He is on Blue Origin. That's Jeff Bezos' spaceship, and he's reaching space. They're sending Captain Kirk at 90 years old to space, boys. It is crazy.
The hair never moves.
Did he price line this to get his deal?
Cap, you ever met William Shatner?
I have not.
I have.
Really?
William Shatner, you know what he always says? Please call me Bill. He doesn't want you calling William. Please call me Bill. He's that guy. Nice guy.
How about that?
Yep.
Have you ever met a celebrity where you went, what an a-hole?
Yes.
Who?
The answer's so easy.
No, I'm not going to do that. No, no.
Who is it, Danny?
Huh?
No comment.
Nobody's going to slam it down?
We're all thinking the same thing. Go ahead, Miller.
David Kaplan.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. You know what?
That was the obvious answer. Literally everyone in this room, J.R. Miller, me, we're all like Cap.
It's an alley-oop. When you put it up there, you got to expect the man to come slam it down. That's all.
You know what? Don't take that, Cap.
I'm not going to.
Always remember, you're my a-hole.
That's it.
So don't take that from them. But, you know, Bill,
you take it as a compliment. We're calling you a celebrity.
Yeah.
You have low standards.
So we're watching the footage here of, I think this is actually not happening. This isn't a studio. But I believe that we are seeing Blue Origin heading to Earth. You know, here's the thing. It's not like we have ever seen this before. There's breaking news all across the networks here. That ain't NASA.
No.
Is Blue Origin a sponsor on NBC?
Not that I know of.
Good Lord.
They're not on the football after show.
I actually know why they're filming this. They're looking for tragedy. That's what they're looking. What?
Come on.
I mean, why else would you put it on there? Like, that ain't. Put NASA on. Don't put that on. You're breaking into the daytime TV for that?
It's on every channel, JR said. Every station.
Wow. We've seen
Dude,
this.
Dude, guys, they sent William Shatner, Captain Kirk, to space.
He's in the movie, isn't he?
Yes. I mean, Denny Crane going to outer space.
Ah, I love that show.
Me too.
Love you for that, Jeff.
Of course it's dangerous, Carm. By the way, Carm came in and I go, Carm, have you ever met a celebrity that's a bleep hole? And his answer was Cap.
Ah, oh, for heaven's sakes.
Go after yourself.
I'm telling you, you do a poll and that's going to be the answer.
Laughing.
Right. You know what, Cap?
I'm leaving.
No, don't leave. I got a second. I want to ask you a question before you leave. I want to know whether or not you do this or not.
No.
Dude.
Has absolutely no appeal to me whatsoever.
But Cap, you've always been that guy. It's like, yeah, in space and then be back in like 90 seconds? In.
No chance. Have zero interest.
You always like stuff like adventures like that.
I do. But that has no appeal to me. None.
He's not going to be up there forever. I guess
he's back already. They're coming
back
right now.
Are descending? They're coming back?
There they are.
Parachute? Is there a parachute?
Yeah, three chutes on the capsule.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I have zero interest in ever doing that. You?
No, I couldn't fit in the suit. Even with Sota, I'm still not. I can't fit in the suit right now, and I would not do that. No.
Yeah, zero interest.
I mean, it looks like it's a glorified air balloon. It's around the band. Am I wrong here?
It does look like that. Yes.
I mean, like, did Captain Kirk really go to space here?
No, that was in a studio, just like it was in the 60s when Cap was watching it on TV in school.
Right. Neil Armstrong.
Did you believe it?
Neil Armstrong was up in Lake Forest hanging out.
I was wondering as a kid whether that you believed that or not. Did you think it was a studio or did you really think that was a man on the moon?
I believed that was the man on the moon. 100%.
I know people in your era thought that it was just like that was a studio, that it wasn't real.
Correct. But yeah, it's coming back. They're 300 feet and descending right now.
Good for Bill.